The horrors of the Third Reich are an abstraction to most of us. People who did not live through those decades when the world went mad can read nonfiction accounts of the World War and the Holocaust, but the sheer magnitude of the story can be overwhelming. Hawaii-born author Susanna Moore's new novel, The Life of Objects, looks at Nazi Germany's march to war through the eyes of a young woman who has left her sheltered past behind. Her eagerness to experience life brings the unfolding chaos around her into sharp relief. And Susanna's on the phone with us from Hawaii Island. Good morning, Susanna.
Good morning, Chris.
Good to talk to you.
And well, thank you.
I'm reading the, you know, the setup, the opening chapters of the new novel, and it's a very, how would you describe her, a very sort of genteel young woman who loves Dickens. She loves to work in lace. And then you find out that she's going to Germany in 1938, and the time and the place tells you what you need to know about what she's headed for, don't they?
Yes, it was important to begin the book very slowly and more like a fairy tale. And I think you it sounds like you got that, because so much is about to happen. There's so much horror is about to ensue that it has to start out with a genteel, quiet, almost pastoral, slightly romantic, and certainly innocent. You know, the character is, well, more than innocent, very naive, and in fact, quite ignorant. Because I teach writing, and one of the things I probably teach the very first day is that there has to be an arc, and so I had to. How do you write about the Second World War also when everybody knows about it? You know, how do you make it new and fresh, and how do you convey information that people already have? Really? How do you write about D-Day?
Well, and if you read, you know, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, Berlin Diary, it's just, it's more than you can stand, you know.
It's more than you can stand, and also, it's at the same time, it's also familiar. So it's very complicated.
But it doesn't sink in the way that it sinks in. And what I like about this novel is that you set up a very, as you say, an atmosphere of gentility. She loves Dickens. She's almost like a Jane Austen character in that she has a very, you know, I keep coming back to genteel approach to life. And, of course, nothing could be more antithetical to the Nazi ideal than gentility.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and all that, of course, is deliberate to make the contrast and in some ways to... There's no need to heighten the horror of what actually happened, or of history, or of the violence. But you do have to, you know, as a writer, heighten the horror for her. So all of that was very important to set up in the beginning.
And you have to know her before you can understand its impact upon her.
Yes, or to care.
Yeah.
Or to care what happens to her.
And you do right away. I mean, there's a wonderful, there's a phrase I keep coming back to. You describe her adolescence as, a chaos of desire and disappointment, I think is the phrase. It's a great description of adolescence.
You could say that about a lot of adolescents, I think, but Beatrice in particular, yes.
But that's, I think a lot of adolescents, our former adolescents, would identify with that line, don't you?
I think so, yes. I mean, and one hopes that we all grow it, you know, because you don't want to spend your life in that chaos. Although people do, of course. And certainly people do in time of war.
Well, most of us outgrow it anyway. But okay. She's unusually vulnerable for the things that are in her future, isn't she?
Yes. And that, again, was deliberate, you know, to use her as a kind of blank slate onto which I could project all this information. You know, when I began the book, I, too, was quite naive. I hadn't realized how difficult it would be. And as I, to repeat myself, one of the great difficulties was, what do you do with all this information? Not only how do you make it fresh, but how do you give it at all, you know, when... It is familiar, and particularly familiar now because of film and television and popular culture, really.
And there's a danger of a kind of horror overload.
Yes, yes. And exploitation, you know, a kind of a cultural manipulation. You know, it's very tricky.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, it's presented in so many different ways and imperfectly in the sense that it's very, very difficult to get anything like the emotional impact of what was happening at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and one can't presume to even try that. That's why, you know, when I began the book, I always begin a book with a character.
Mm-hmm.
And even more than a plot or a story. I don't know too much, but I know the character. And I knew that I didn't have the nerve, the presumption, the knowledge, the emotional depth to write as a Jew or as a German during the war. And I knew that I had to approach it as an outsider. But then the object was to figure out who that outsider might be, because that was, you know, she couldn't be French because she'd have been arrested in 1940. All of the Americans were arrested and detained after Pearl Harbor mm-hmm. in 1941. Who could she be? So the fact that she's Irish isn't arbitrary. You know, so much of writing is really problem solving of that kind. Mm-hmm. You know, I have this, how do I get that?
Well, interesting that you start with character first. It sounds as if you create a character and then let events lead you along a little bit in the construction of the book. Is that accurate?
Well, I'm always interested in the way that that things are beneath the surface. You know, that things appear in a certain way, but what is really going on? And this, it probably comes from having a very difficult childhood. You know, I was always trying to decipher not the truth so much, because I was pretty clear that was not going to be apparent, but, you know, to try to make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get interested in the character or situation, and I then find myself thinking, well, what's really happening? What was she really feeling? What was she really doing and thinking? And then it just spins out from there.
Sure. Well, that's really Susanna, thank you. That's a valuable insight into your method, and I'm really looking forward to reading the rest of this book, The Life of Objects.
Oh, thank you, Chris, so much.
Real pleasure talking to you.
And all right. Yes, you too.
Susanna Moore was born and raised in Hawaii. She's the author of The Life of Objects. She'll be speaking at this weekend's Book and Music Festival, and details are on our HPR website.